Ensemble Theater just wrapped up a very successful opener for its 2016-17 season, the very funny Legend of Georgia McBride. For the second show of its 31st season, artistic director Lynn Myers has chosen Brownsville's song B-Side for Trey, this time a very serious and socially conscious work that opens on October 11th. With me to discuss the production is ETC's producing artistic director Lynn Myers. Welcome.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me here.
So Kimberly's play is the story of a young African-American whose promising life is cut short by an act of senseless and rather random violence. Mm-hmm. The show is featured in the Humana Festival of New American Plays in Louisville in 2014. In the intervening 2 years, issues of gun violence have continued to make headlines nationally and locally. What moved you to present this play?
It just was urgent. It was urgent. You listen to the news. And, you know, it's the opposite of It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie. I love the fact that everybody lives happily ever after, but not in this play. In Brownsville, what happens is in Brownsville, which is based on a true incident, this happens across our country every single day. Every single day, people are killed randomly for no reason, for points, for gang credit, for fun. The value of human life has become a deteriorating value. So it felt essential to put this in our season.
The sad part of it is that many of these stories just boil down to a statistic, mm-hmm. and there's nothing personal about them. And with this play, we really see the impact of the personal on a family. The play moves back and forth in time.
Yes.
The real subject driving the event of Trey's death has already happened, in fact,
yes.
at the beginning. But he doesn't become a statistic in this one because we really get to know what has happened. He's a bright kid. He's been working on a college essay. He's holding down a part-time
yes.
job to pay for college. And the play jumps around, but we experience this tragedy and this grief that his family is feeling. And that's
mm-hmm.
really what the play is all about. Can you talk a little bit more?
That's
about
true. It makes it personal. And so you might be sitting here listening to this going, well, why do I want to see that? I mean, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, it is. But it's also urgent and critical that we look at these deaths that are happening in our nation in a different way, that we don't do it as a body count, that we don't do it as how many homicides, we don't do it as how many unsolved cases, but that we look upon the individual value of each and every single life in our country. And I believe as a thinking public, which we are, and I have the greatest audiences on the planet coming to Ensemble because they are people who truly think and care and make a difference, I truly believe that by presenting this story, we can make a difference, that we can bring awareness, that we can give people a voice that don't have a voice. They get a clip on the news for about, you know, if lucky, 8-9 seconds, and that's the summation of a life.
And no identity, really.
No identity.
Just a name at
another
best.
Another statistic. And, you know, we hear about the terrorism in the world. I mean, who would have thought that there would be the terrorism desk report every night in the 11 o'clock news? But what about the terror in our own streets? And what does that mean to the young people of Cincinnati? What does that mean to the people that we work with in our educational outreach programs? I know what this play means because one of the young men who was in our educational outreach program in a high school that we considered at risk is now cast in this play. So you work as you can as a theater to create outcomes that make a better society.
Interestingly to me, the play by Kimberly is by someone who, she's not African-American.
No.
In fact, she's Korean. She was born in Pyeongtaek in South Korea. She now lives bicoastally, apparently, spending time in Brooklyn. She works a lot with the Lark Theater in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But she also spends part of her time out in Seattle. So why did her background bring her to this play, do you
well,
think?
I think a lot of it just has to do with being incredibly aware of oppression, incredibly aware of injustice, and also the fact that she's a woman playwright, Korean woman playwright. I liken it to the fact that when Matthew Lopez wrote The Whipping Man, who was a young Hispanic man who wrote about African-American Jews' experiences at the end of the Civil War, sometimes a detachment from your own ethnic background allows you to see more clearly what's happening to other people in other arenas. And I think she has a very clear maternal look at the loss of a life. This is very much about what happens with Trey's grandmother, what happens with his half-sister, what happens with his mother, what happens to these people left behind. And again, it's not so much a celebration of a tragedy or a definition of a tragedy. It's a triumph. It's a story about how we triumph through it and how maybe through our triumph we can learn to keep it from happening.
Can you talk a little bit about who you have working on the show? You mentioned that you have is he still a student?
He just started at UC,
okay.
Chauncey Ragland. Cameron Richardson, recent graduate from CCM. I think he's been in New York 4 days, and we hired him to come back to play Trey in this production. Deborah Brock Blanks, who's one of my favorite people in the world, and was marvelous in Intimate Apparel and Lesson Before Dying, will be with us. I have a very, very cool young lady named Ari Johnson, who is all of 8 years old, and she will be playing Divine. Assisting me on the show, I'm very fortunate to have Tori Wiggins as my assistant director, and Darnell Benjamin is my choreographer. And Darnell is still still settling
right now.
From Georgia McBride. But what a wonderful opportunity to have him. Now, mind you, this is not a musical, even though the title implies that, but there is a great deal of music and movement that's intertwined into the show. And I think Tori's just authenticity of life will bring a great joy to that room. She's also an actress and a person I deeply respect.
Lee was a student of Stephen Dietz, I understand, at University of Texas. You're doing his play Bloomsday at the end of your season, and you've staged his work before. I wonder if you can see evidence of his teaching on her work.
I do. Now that you say that, I have to say, you know, they neither one have a linear approach to theater. Dietz's Bloomsday goes back and forth over decades. Kimberly's play goes back and forth over years, over time. We don't know exactly when it starts. The incident happened in 2012. It's set in 2012, but we see what the reaction to is later. I think Dietz is a master craftsman. I really do. And he manages to do a beautiful work of crafting a play without losing its humanity. And certainly, I would say Kimberly has that same great gift.
In an interview that I read, Lee said that the kind of theater that excites her is anything with guts. I love that remark. Would you say that this play has guts?
Oh, yes, I do. I do think it has guts. And it has so much courage and so much tenacity in terms of its honesty that just when you think it could get sentimental or just when you think it could get morose, it doesn't. And in the way that Trey was a boxer, a young upcoming boxer, and I heard from you that Kimberly boxes. I think boxing is a great image for this piece. It's about, you know, strategy and where the blows and defense mechanisms. It's not about the violence. It's about the recovery and the survival of it.
She's also written that the aliveness of her play lives in the rhythm and flow of the language. In rereading the script and having seen it feels at times almost, well, not almost, it's poetic.
It's poetic.
You want to say anything more
about
that?
Yes, if any of those listening have saw the Iliad, an Iliad, which we did a few years ago, that's a long narrative poem on paper. This play struck me in that same way, in that it is poetry, but it's poetry in the way rap is poetry. It's poetry in the way that the energy of word, the spoken word, has taken on a new meaning in our society. So when you think about the power of the words, and you think about a poetic way of saying it without being apologetic about being poetic, that's what you have in this piece.
Well, if you'd like to experience the poetry of Kimberly's relatively new play, Brownsville Song, B-Side for Trey, it's coming up soon at Ensemble Theater. For more information about Brownsville Song and Ensemble Theater, you can follow a link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Lynn Myers about Ensemble Theater's upcoming production of Kimberly's play. Thanks for coming by to talk.
Thanks for being here.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Bender.
Do our doubts and frustrations in my violence, in my turbulence, through my fear and my confessions, in my anguish, through my joy and my sorrow, in the promise of another tomorrow, I'll never let you part, for you're always